Turn with me to the messy story in Genesis chapter 27 in your Bibles this morning. Genesis 27, as you're turning there, I want to tell you a little story here that I heard this week from David Fuquay, our director of spiritual formation here. He told me about his nephew, Joshua, 5 years old. He puts on a Superman costume, and, you know, as kids will do, Joshua thought by putting on the Superman costume, he had all the blessing, power, and goodness of Superman, right? And it so happened that Joshua saw a ladder while he was dressed up in his Superman costume, and Joshua proceeded to climb up that ladder all the way to the top of the ladder. And of course, Joshua, 5 years old, assuming he had all the blessings, power, and goodness of Superman, gets to the top of the ladder, the very top, and you know what he does? He jumps. And he didn't die, but it did cost him a broken arm. Kids are funny like that, aren't they? But it's not just kids who dress up. It's adults too, right? I wanted to tell you the story of Gerald Barnbaum. Gerald Barnbaum was a pharmacist who lost his license because of Medicaid fraud. And he kind of left town and he changed his last name to Barnes. And he stole the identity of a doctor, Gerald Barnes, and proceeded to dress up every day and go to work as a doctor now. And he's out there practicing for 3 years until one day, John McKenzie, undiagnosed diabetes type 1, dies under his care. He gets put in jail, gets out of jail. He dresses up again as Dr. Gerald Barnes and starts practicing till the real Dr. Gerald Barnes showed up one day. And they put him in jail again. This time when he got out, he started dressing up still as a doctor and stole the identity of Dr. Donald Barnes for a while till he was caught, thrown in jail. He gets out and he continues to dress up as a doctor. When he gets a job with Executive Medical Group in Los Angeles, where he, part of his job, he gives physicals to FBI agents. And he does that for years till finally he's caught and put in jail. An Executive Medical Group now gets sued by 500 plaintiffs for battery, sexual battery, and malpractice, and it cost them $9.2 million. Today, I want us to look at this kind of famous story of when Jacob dresses up as Esau. How many know this story? Heard it before, yeah. And we're going to look at this kind of messy, messy story. The title of this sermon is Dressing Up for Blessing. Okay, I'll remind you, if you weren't here last week, we started this series on the messy life of Jacob, and we said Jacob is an easy, easy guy to relate to because he's this modern day messy character. He doesn't have it all together. And when you think about Jacob's life, at times when you read the stories, they don't seem like he's actually moving in a very good direction. But last week we said this, as you wrestle with this question, where are you grasping instead of leaning? Here's where Jacob's story provides incredible hope. At the end of his story, you realize that he actually was moving in a direction. That at the end of his life, there's an event that happens that's marked in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. Hebrews is God's hall of fame, the hall of faith. It's where the writer of Hebrews, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, here's some people you need to notice when you think about what does it mean to really have faith. And so at the end of his life, we read, Jacob, while he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, leaning on his staff, and he worshiped. It's as if the writer of Hebrews says, Jacob got it. Jacob, in all his mess, he got it. And you know what? You can too. That's hope. So this morning, we're going to look at this story here. And we're going to ask three questions. The first is, why does Jacob dress up? Next, how does Jacob dress up? And thirdly, what does it cost Jacob to dress up? Okay? Why, how, and what does it cost Jacob to dress up? Now, I want to give you the context for this humorous and sad story. Okay? Here you have, in this corner, as we talked about last week, Rebecca and her favorite son, Jacob, a mama's boy, and she's a helicopter mom, okay? And she is bent out of shape because she's got a plan for her kid. And you know who's not cooperating? Dad. Because over in this corner, you have Isaac and his favorite Esau. And Isaac is planning on his death, and he says, okay, Esau, it's time for me to bless you, give you the inheritance. He says, go out and hunt some game and come back and we'll do this thing. Rebecca's going to have none of it. She says to Jacob, I've got a plan. I'm going to dress you up with some goat skins, put your brother's clothes on you, and I'm going to cook some stuff all before Esau gets back. And Jacob, rightly so, is a little scared. Jacob's like, what if I get caught here wearing goat skins? And Rebecca, with this steely determination of a helicopter mom, says, listen, if you get caught, let the curse be on me. I want Rebecca in my corner if I got a problem, okay? So that's the setup for this story. Now, I want to read, and I want you to listen to how many times the word bless or blessing comes up, and also the word son, S-O-N, son. Okay. Jacob said to his father, Jacob shows up, I am your firstborn. I've done as you've told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you're really my son Esau or not. Now, apparently, Isaac's eyesight has gotten pretty bad at this point. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau, so he blessed him. Are you really my son Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought it to him, and he ate it, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So he went to him and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau comes in stage right from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. His father, Isaac, asked him, who are you? I am your son, your firstborn, Esau said. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, me too, my father. Okay? So why did Jacob dress up. And I want to say a few things here, okay? And the first is Jacob dressed up because that's the power of a blessing in the life of a person in that time, and I would say in our lives too. It's the power of a blessing, okay? Now, to get a handle on this word blessing, I want you to know on one hand, it's kind of this physical inheritance. In verse 29, when Isaac says to Jacob, may nations serve you and peoples bow down to you, be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you, he is conveying the headship of the family to Jacob. He is saying, you are now the head of this family, you get our physical inheritance, and I want to remind you that it was, as we said last time, that was a really big deal for this family because Jacob's grandfather was Abraham. And God, when he saw that the world was a mess and he was going to do something about it, he looked out in the world and he saw a no-name guy named Abraham. And he said, Abraham, through you. And Abraham, here's going to be your blessing. You're going to have kids that outnumber the stars of the sky. And I'm going to give you land, 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 land. And you know what else? Here's how important, Abraham, you're going to be to the scheme of my work in the whole world for time. I am actually going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to others. You're going to have an impact on the whole world. I mean, we're fighting over the lottery here, okay? And what's interesting in this, everybody in the family, Rebekah, Jacob, Isaac, Esau, they all thought this blessing was something that could be stolen, right? There's some physical nature, lasting nature to this thing, but you know what else? It's very fascinating. After Jacob steals it, you know what Isaac and Esau do not do? They don't get on the phone and say, lawyers, we need to have a little meeting today, and call their lawyers so that they can get it back. No, the second time, Isaac later will say to Esau, listen, I've already blessed him. I've given him new wine and abundance of grain, a full and rich life. What more can I do? And in that, when he says that, it causes Esau to weep a second time. They realized there was something lasting and permanent to not only this physical thing that happened, but to the words and the symbolic actions that took place that day. Think about this. Just the blessing of words over a person's life. I want everybody just to think for a moment. This, the power of a blessing, why Jacob dresses up. I want you to think about a person, some point in your life that spoke words of encouragement, blessing over you. Maybe it included some kind of symbolic action or some material things. But as you think of that person, I want everybody to raise your hand when you think of that event. Just raise your hand when you got it in your mind and hold your hand up high, okay? A time when somebody blessed you with words, symbolic actions. Just hold your hand up. And I'm not going to ask you what was said. I just want to ask you when it happened, okay? Julie, when did it happen? How many years ago? What? 5 years ago. Somebody else? In high school. Can you tell us how many years ago that was? A few. Maybe 50? Somebody else? When? 22 years ago. Okay. Somebody else? Over here. Ken? 28 years ago. Kay? 5 years ago. Think about this. Maybe 50, 28, 22 years ago, somebody spoke a word of you and you did not forget it. Whew. The power of a blessing. Jacob dresses up to get that. Now, I want to change it around here. I want you to think of a moment where you felt like somebody cursed you. Words were spoken that cut you deeply, okay? I want you to think about how long ago. I bet we'd get all the same answers. 5 years ago, last week, 50 years ago, 22 years ago. Because here's the deal. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but spoken words and symbolic actions, and put that together with material things, actually shape a person's life, right? It's the power of a blessing that tempts a person to say, I've got to get it. I've got to grasp and get it right now. The other thing I want to mention just about Jacob, an observation of the story that's so important to this, it's not just the power of the blessing, but the power of a really important person in our life, right? The power of a helicopter mom who says, son, this is how your life ought to be. Or somebody in our life says, this is what you should do with your life. This is what I expect of you. This is why you never get anything right. Right? Why does Jacob dress up? It's the power of the blessing, and it's the power of really important people in our lives, right? You know, it's really interesting about Rebecca. I want you to see this. If you go back and read in verse 14, in chapter 27, it says, when he got up and he brought this food, brought all this stuff to his mother, and she prepared the tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house. Esau is married with two wives at this point. He's probably out of the house. I mean, Rebekah, you talk about a force right here, okay? And then it says, she covered his hands with the smooth part of the neck with the goat skins, and she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food, right? Why do we dress up? It's the power of the blessing. It's the power of a really important person in our life. And let me say this also. It's the power of the need that's in all of us. It's the power of a big, empty space in all of us. And you know what we know? We can't bless ourselves. Think about this. Jacob, you know, he's on this journey from grasping to leaning to get a blessing from God, the good things he wants. And at one point in his life, later on, that we're going to look at, there's this angel in the middle of the night. If you remember the story, Jacob wrestling. He gets his hip popped. And the angel says, let me go. And it's fascinating what Jacob says. He says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Man, it's the power. His whole life, that one thing he's got to have, but he's already won the blessing, right? At least the physical blessing. And maybe at this point, that's all Jacob thinks he needs. Watch in verse 19. When Jacob says to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. He just gives the title, right? Your firstborn. Maybe at this point is all Jacob thinks he needs is the family inheritance, the headship of the family, all those physical things. I want you to watch what happens. In verse 32, when his father Isaac ask Esau, when Esau comes in, whom are you? Watch what Esau says. I am your son. I'm your son, your firstborn. Jacob just uses the title, I'm the firstborn. Esau says, I'm your son. I know what it means to be blessed, to get the informal blessing. I'm your son. I know what it means to have a father dote over me. I know what it means to have a father say, you know what, I believe in you, I believe in you, I believe in you. I know what it means to need a father and to have a father say, you know what, son, it's going to be okay. You're not a loser. I remember when I was in campus ministry, one time this gal said this. She said, all my life, I just wanted somebody to be my father and nobody ever wanted to. That's Jacob. That's Jacob. At this moment, you know what Jacob is just saying? The power of the blessing, the power of a parent, the power of the need is, I should be the one, Dad. I should be the one that you should be doting over. I should be the one that all along you should have said you're great. I should have been the one all along that you'd been teaching me the family business. Why does Jacob dress up? It's the power of blessing. Folks, We all need it. And it's the power of influential people in our life, and it's the power of the need. Now, I want to ask you, how does Jacob dress up? How does Jacob dress up? You know what Jacob did? He did the same thing he had learned from his ancestors, Adam and Eve. He did the same thing they did. The thing they taught all of us in a moment of nothing but shame. I want you to imagine this, folks. You need to hear that God is for your blessing. Just read the story of Adam and Eve and all the good that's going on there. I want you to try to imagine a God in heaven who knows everything, right? And you're in this relationship with him when he looks you in the eye. And he looks you in the eye and you say, he says, how you doing today? You got it together? And you say, yes. And you know there's nothing that ever causes you to look down. That ever causes you to say, well, yeah, I'm fine. When you're not. And you know what they did? Here's how they grasped instead of leaned on God in the moment when God shows up after they took a bite of that apple. They tried to create a new identity with some fig leaves. It's ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as me wearing a doctor's coat over this suit, a little 5-year-old boy dressing up as Superman and jumping off a ladder, and Jacob wearing goat skins. Talk about how did Jacob dress up? He just did what Adam and Eve, he learned from Adam and Eve just like us. And you know what? He tries to steal Esau's identity, right? Think about how ridiculous that must have looked with Jacob dressed up with some goat skins wrapped around him. No wonder he says, hey, my dad might find out here, okay? Somebody might find out that I'm a fraud. Somebody might find out that I lied. Somebody might find... And think about Jacob wearing Esau's clothes and the smell of the field. He didn't even like it. Here's what is particularly shameful. Verse 26, his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. I wonder how many times Jacob heard his father say that to Esau and thought, I wish that was me. So he went to him and kissed him. What do you think Jacob felt like in that moment? Just trying to steal his brother's identity. Now, what did it cost him? I want you to go back to verse 12. Jacob, he's anticipating this. He says, what if my father touches me? I would appear as a deceiver in his sight, right? And I will get a curse instead of a blessing. And you know what? That's what it cost him. Jacob gets cursed instead of blessed. He gets cursed personally. He gets cursed relationally. Go to verse 35. Isaac says to Esau, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Your brother's a deceiver. Yes, just the very thing. Jacob feared that he would be seen as a deceiver in his father's sight. A liar. He's a liar. Watch what his brother says. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. Yes, he's a liar. He's a fake. He's a fraud. And he's cursed relationally. Now, let me be clear. Everybody in the family has culpability here, right? That Rebecca, Isaac, Esau, they're all doing their grasping thing. Not going along, which apparently was the plan of God for Jacob to get the blessing. And instead saying, I'm going to do it in my own way, in my own time. And you know, part of the curse relationally was this. That whole family gets blown up, okay? And we know that, right? When people dress up. And next week, Jacob's going to hightail it out of there, and Rebecca is never going to see the son she loves again. It's just the cost. Now, I want to just take a moment to reflect. And I want you to do something here. We've been asking this question, why does Jacob dress up? How does Jacob dress up? What does it cost Jacob to dress up? And you'll notice in your notes that Jacob, his name, every time I have it, I just have it in that light gray scale. What I want you to do is I want you to get a pen or a pencil. If you don't have one, steal one from the person next to you. This is actually pretty important. And I want you to take that pen, and everywhere you see Jacob's name in those three sentences, I want you to write in your name. And I want you to know this is actually really important for your processing, because as you know, when you write something, there's some things that light up in your brain. Actually, there's some things that light up in your brain even more, things that don't light up when you're actually typing. So I want you to do this. Why does Neil dress up? How does Neil dress up? What does it cost Neil to dress up? You put your name, not mine. Okay? And just to help us reflect here a moment, I'm going to throw some things out. And in some ways, these are more obvious. I get it. Some of this stuff is very, very subtle in your heart. You want to get really risky, ask a friend. Sometimes we dress up by taking jobs that we really don't like, that we might not even have to take, but we know those jobs get us a certain amount of money to live in a certain place, to buy certain stuff, you know. Sometimes we dress up by making relationships with people who are wealthy or beautiful or we perceive as intelligent, because what we can get from them, even though we don't really like them and they don't really like us, if we're really brutally honest. Sometimes in dating, we dress up when we are getting with the other person and we make up in our mind what they want and we try to be that person that we think they want. You know, I've been working on this message for a while now, but in the last 2 weeks, as I've been talking to some people about this, I was reminded again at how much pressure there is in a place like Dallas for teenagers in what they wear and how they look. And when I say teenagers, I'm talking about people 37, 55, 63. And how much just pressure to an external image and what we do to our bodies and all these things. And sometimes it's not just a broken relationship with God or others, it's a disconnect from our own soul, right? And whatever it is, this dressing up and really this pressure to kind of keep it all close and nobody know that it's messy. I want to show you a really cool picture here. I might have mentioned to y'all, I have this granddaughter. There we are in Colorado riding wild horses, okay? Zuri was born 4.5 years ago. And I can remember before she was born getting a phone call one day when it was a Saturday, and our daughter telling us that she was pregnant. And she wasn't married. And lots of prayer and tears and all kinds of things, but finally it came to a place where we all agreed that she was going to come to Dallas and choose life and have her baby, and that she was going to live with us for a time. And she told us, and I want to come to Northwest Bible Church because of how people have loved me at this church. And so we talked about, okay, walking in Sunday morning, December 24th, 23rd, looking very, very pregnant. And we talked about, how do we help you not get a million questions? And so my daughter and I together crafted what I would say. And I want to tell you, there are so many unbelievable stories of beautiful grace, which is what's the reason. Which is what Zuri's name means, beautiful, and her middle name is Grace. But I want to tell you one of the things that happened. Vila would be in women's ministry. Vila would be at a Bible study. I would be at Target. I remember being at Target. It would happen here, Sunday after Sunday. Somebody would come up to us and say, you don't know this about my story, but. And it was just this moment of beautiful grace where a preacher who knows how to hide and knows how to dress up and feels that temptation every Sunday morning would have never chose this. God said, you know what? I'm going to help a whole church come out of hiding into God's healing. And to say, it's okay to not dress up. And I hurt, folks, I hurt for us, grown-up teenagers that are living with all this hurt and pain and pressure because we've been told, dress up, dress up, dress up, dress up. And I want to tell you this morning, because of Jacob's story, don't dress up. Don't dress up. Now, there's a temptation in me to just leave it right there right now. Don't dress up. But you know what? That's going to be pretty hard for all us Jacobs here to hear. Don't dress up. Because you know what all us Jacobs know? Is that, man, that's a scary thing if I say to you, don't dress up. And you say, I'm not sure I am ready in my journey to lean on God, to trust him, to believe that I don't have to dress up. And so, and then you put up on that, put on top of that, hey, look at what my dressing up has already caused me. In my relationships, in my marriage, in my life, in my disconnection from my own soul. And so I want to give you a word of comfort before I close. Guys, can we put up the messy cross? If you guys can get it up. I hadn't thought about this. I want you to understand our messy cross here. This thing is so important to me. Because Jesus did not die on a shiny gold thing, folks. He died on a rough piece of wood full of blood. Of the shattered pieces of his own body because of the shattered pieces of the world. And he stripped naked. And I want to tell you what happened at the cross. Remember, Rebecca says, let the curse be on me, son. And you know what? That's what happened at the cross. Jesus took the curse on himself. That's what Paul told us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus took the curse that you and I deserved on himself. Jacob, it's a good encouragement today, isn't it? When you think about this, Jesus was the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn son, the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So all of his life, he lived in a state of firstborn blessing. And when he came to earth, there's a few times when the Father spoke to him. And you know what he did every time he spoke? He blessed Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son. Please listen to him. And what happened on the cross was this. That Jesus, who had all the rights and privileges of the firstborn, he lost it there on the cross. And so when you hear Jesus crying on the cross, it's the one time you don't hear him say, my Father, he just gives the title. It's the Jacob moment, just gonna give the title. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know why he was forsaken? So you wouldn't be, so I wouldn't be. And then you know what he does? The one who has all the rights and privileges of the firstborn has all the blessings of heaven. He dresses us in his righteousness. You know what it is? It's an invitation. It is an invitation to you. Don't dress up. It's an invitation to throw away the Superman costume and the doctor outfit or whatever it looks like to you, and to lean on the one who says, I'm going to dress you in my righteousness. When you talk about blessing, you know what that means? You already have it all. May God give us the grace to meditate on that over and over again. Every time he dresses me in his righteousness, I already have. I already have it all. Let me pray. Father, would you help us believe? Jesus took the curse and dressed us in his righteousness. Would you help us believe it in moments of shame, in temptations, to pretend to be something we are not and think that's going to get us blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. And I invite you to stand as we meditate on this right now, that Jesus dresses us in his righteousness. So when you are aware, I'm wanting to dress up right now, and you hear, don't dress up. May God give you the grace to rehearse, to meditate over and over again on this. Jesus took the curse I deserved, and he dresses me in his righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.